Easter is my favorite time of the year. It's a beautiful time of new life, of new beginnings. And today I want to talk to you about that very thing, that new beginning that has become for us a new door of opportunity. We want to look at that door, actually three doors that were opened that first Easter, and how the three doors of Easter can dramatically affect our lives today and tomorrow and forever. How many know that doors can be like portals, right? Taking you from one place to another. I remember when my son was very young and we would read C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And as you know, in that novel, the wardrobe was the door transporting them to Narnia. Well, when we lived at Old Bedford Village and in a house that tasted bad when we first went there, I'd say that literally, when I was offered the position there and to help make up for the lack of salary, was given a place to live at Old Bedford Village. And the family that lived there before didn't understand litter boxes for some reason. And it was awful. It was actually so bad that when you walked in, Josh, who was about 3 years old at the time, said, "Dad, it tastes funny in here." That's bad, right? But the village became a special place for my children as we were growing up. And there was a fence behind our house that we would pretend would be the doorway to Narnia. And we would take these wonderful walks and journeys into that magical land. It was great. As my daughter got older, she too had a special door. It was the door to her first bedroom of the house that we finally built in Fishertown. And she, over her years, decorated that door with every sticker that you could imagine. It was so full of stickers and posters and pictures that we actually had to replace the door when we sold the house. The real estate agent said, that can't stay, which was fine with my daughter because she took it off the hinges and actually we took it with her. We still have it in the bedroom that she uses sometimes when she comes to visit. Indeed. Well, certain doors can really make us feel pretty strong emotions, right? When you walk through some doors, you have feelings of excitement and joy. Other times when you walk through doors, you have feelings of anxiety or even fear, right? It all depends on what their doors to. It all depends on what's on the other side of the door, right? Think about the doors that you go through on a regular basis and the emotions that are created whenever you walk through them. What emotions do you feel? I want you to picture those doors in your mind. When you walk through the door to your home, for example. How about when you walk through the door to your work? And some of you say, well, that depends on whether you're arriving or leaving, right? Yeah. The door to your favorite sports team's home stadium, right? Or the door to the place where your favorite singing group is playing. How do you feel when you walk through the door to your dentist when you're there to get a cavity fixed? Or how about when you walk through the door to the mall? I tell you the truth, I would not lie. When I walk through those mall doors, the life comes right out of me. It sucks the life right out of me. Kim calls it mallitis, and it's a legitimate diagnosis from her. I truly get mallitis whenever I walk into the mall. I just want to sit, right? How do you feel, you know, if you're still in school, some of you maybe, and you walk through the door of your school or the class maybe that you dislike the most? How do you feel when you walk through the door to your room or suite or rental house at your favorite vacation place? I don't know, but I want to feel that way soon, right? How about when you walk through the doors of the church? How do you feel? Do you feel a sense of excitement and anticipation? Did you feel excited because it's Easter, Resurrection Sunday, and and you know he is alive and alive in your life? Or maybe you felt a little uneasy because you didn't know what to expect in this church, you know, right? You're new. Will the people be nice? Will they do anything weird? Come on, be honest, right? Not sure what to expect. Will I have to do anything weird? That's what you really want to know. Yeah, or, you know, what will the music be like? I hope this morning that you found it moving. It's normal, by the way, to think that it was a little long if you're not used to it. Amen, Chet? I just look at Chet because, you know, I've been here long enough to have known some of you for a good long time, and that's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And I know, just like me, you know, I came from a background that was very different church than what this is. And when Kim took me to the first contemporary Christian church that I ever attended, it was different. And yes, Chet, I said the music was too long, right? It wasn't like anything that I was used to, but now worship is a big part of my life. It's a big part of our lives together here in this church. It helps me focus on him. It can move me deeply. Worship can move me deeply, emotionally, right? Emotions are not bad things, and you who might show them in sports or concerts, you can show them here too. Amen? Emotions are not bad things. As a matter of fact, I pray that God does move you in a very positive way, right? Especially this morning, I pray that he moves you to go through all the three doors that today represents, the three doors I want to talk to you about. How many remember or old enough to remember the game show, The Price is Right? Yeah, Bob Barker, right? Yeah, my goodness. I always remember when I was able to watch that show, you know, when it would come up and they would say, what do you want, door number one, door number two, or door number three? You have to pick one. I always said, but I want to know what's on the other side before I pick, right? Yeah. The good news today is that the doors that I'm going to talk to you about, all three, you can have. And you can know what's on the other side. For today, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, it represents all three doors opening for you because of what he did. Right? Jesus. The story of Jesus is the story of a loving God doing whatever it takes to bring people back to himself. That's why Easter is the focal point of all human history. You think about it, you know, we actually date our calendars, B.C. or A.D., right? Before Christ, or Annus Domini, the year of our Lord, Jesus Christ. So every time, no matter who you are or whoever it is, you write a check or print a calendar, every time anyone puts a date in a newspaper or a magazine, they're bearing witness to the truth of Jesus Christ coming, living, dying, and rising from the dead. History, right? That's history, and history can't get away from him. That's why today, over 2 billion people from all around the world are celebrating this morning just as we are. They're celebrating the truth of the resurrection. Right? And the goal this Easter, his goal, is to help you find your place in his story. Right? History, his story, you get it? All right. I want to read to you just one passage of scripture this morning from Matthew's gospel. If we have it to put on the big screen, you can do that. It's the last chapter of Matthew, chapter 28, and we'll be reading just 10 short verses here today. Matthew 28, verse 1 through 10, here's what it says. This is the account, Matthew's account of the resurrection. It says in chapter 28, verse 1, after the Sabbath, that was Saturday for a Jew, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance, the angel's appearance, was like lightning, and his clothes or white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he is laid. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, and afraid yet filled with joy, they ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. Then they came to him, they clasped his feet, and they worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell all my brothers, go to Galilee. There they all will see me." I love those words, right? Don't be afraid. "I know you are looking for Jesus," the angel said, "who was crucified." Yeah. Arrested, bound, mocked, insulted, beaten. They were looking for the Jesus who was stripped, nailed to a cross, crucified, hung for 6 hours. They were looking for the Jesus who bowed his head at 3 p.m. and died a physical, bodily death. They were looking for Jesus who was crucified. But the crucifixion was Friday, and now it was Sunday. And on Sunday, Jesus, with great power, burst from the grave. Death couldn't hold him any longer. The tomb was empty. Jesus is alive. Amen? Do not be afraid, for I know who you are looking for. Jesus, who was crucified, he is not here. The grave is empty. The cross is bare. He is risen just as he said. Jesus said that he would have to suffer, that he would have to die, that he would rise again. And he said that his resurrection would be the absolute proof that he was exactly who he said he was. God in the flesh, the bread of life, the light of the world, the great I am, the Savior who is now King of kings and Lord of lords. His resurrection was meant to remove any doubts whatsoever as to who Jesus is. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the mighty God, the creator of all that we see. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who holds the world together by his powerful word and who can hold our lives together. Jesus is the God who came in flesh and became this, so that we could have eternal life. His resurrection proved that he can deliver what he promised, that he can provide all that we need, that he can bring peace to any conflict, that he can conquer any problem, that he can calm any storm, that he can defeat any enemy. His resurrection proved that what he said was true, and that what he said he would do, he will do, which is, first, door number one, to forgive all of your sins and give you a brand new start, a brand new lease on life. Forgiveness every day of your life. That's the door that he opened to you. You know, Adam and Eve lived in a perfect world, a garden paradise. And not only that, they had a very close and personal relationship with God, who would come and walk with them and be with them in the garden. And God said to them, "Of all these things, of all the, if you will, doors I've created for you, they're all open. They're all open. You can have any one you want and everything behind them all except for one. Except for one door. That one's off limits," right? That's the only tree that you cannot eat the fruit of. So what did they do? They did the same thing that you, when you were children, did when your parents said, "Don't do that," right? There's something inside of you whenever you hear those words that wants to do exactly the thing that you hear you're not supposed to do, right? That's it. That's that nature that we have that comes with the whole package of having this mind that can think and reason and choose for yourself, and the nature that sometimes then wants to be selfish and get something that you think you need, even if someone says you shouldn't have it, right? They went straight for that door, right? They went straight for that door, ate the fruit. Now, granted, Adam and Eve did have someone that was urging them to do that very thing, someone that was allowed to be in that garden with them. And the truth is that you and I have to do battle with the same one, the same enemy that they faced, an enemy that then appeared in the form of a serpent. But it was Jesus that revealed that to us when he said that the thief, that's who he was talking about, the enemy of our soul, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life, he said. And life abundantly, life to the full. Adam and Eve chose the forbidden door. You and I choose it too. And when we do, every time we do, it creates a wall thicker and thicker of separation between us and God. A wall that is guilt and shame and sin. It's a wall of separation. It's every person's problem, not just yours. It's every single person that ever lives problem that we build those walls of guilt. Guilt for the times we lose our temper. Guilt for the times when we lose control. Guilt from the time when we lose sight of priorities. Guilt for falling short. And we build that wall thicker and thicker every time. It becomes for us a roadblock between us and God, between us and the life that God desires us to live, between us and that new, full, and abundant life. But the good news of Easter is that all of our guilt, all of our sins, all of our shame, all of our failures are not the final word in our lives. God, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, defeated it, conquered sin, paid our debt in full. He knocked down the wall. That's what Hebrews tells us. He knocked down the wall of separation between us and God, that we now have access to communion with God. That's why Easter is my favorite time, because it's a huge reminder to me of the forgiveness that's available constantly, always through Him. That my sins can be washed away, that the stain of guilt and shame can be removed. The good news of Easter is that anybody, no matter what they've done, no matter how far they wander, can be forgiven, restored. That wall can be removed in your life if you stop trying to do it yourself and you understand the power of what He did for you. And be able to walk through the door of forgiveness that He indeed has opened. When you walk through that door of forgiveness, it leads then to the second door. The door of transformation, the door of positive change, the door of abundant life. You know, we sing songs about Jesus being alive, and we have to understand that He wants us to be fully alive. In this life, fully alive, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, he said. The angels who broke the apostles out of prison in Acts chapter 5 said, now you can go and stand in the temple courts and tell the people the message of this new life. Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father so that we may live new lives. God desires to give us new, abundant, passionate, purposeful lives. One in which we are fully alive, that we feel fully alive. But many people, maybe many Christians, you know, maybe some of us even, we aren't fully alive. We feel like we're just going through, you know, the motions of life, living, which means existing. How many besides me have ever felt like they were in survival mode, right? Survival mode. You've been there? You know, survival mode is not a fun place to be. It's like barely hanging on. That's not the way that God desires your life to be. I've been there. I've done that. I want to burn that t-shirt, amen? I want to live life to the full. I don't want to live in survival mode only. I want to live with hope, and I want to live with the help of God who comes into my life when I walk through that door and begins then to transform me. That's the second door, the door of transformation, to know that it doesn't have to be that way. There's more. There's a better way. That door of transformation means that the old can be gone and the new can come. That we are indeed, in God's sight, His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to be able to do wonderful things. You know, God does know what He's doing. It's like that old Southern preacher said, you know, God made me and God don't make no junk, right? But that's the thing, is that we are created in the image and likeness of God. And through this door of transformation, we begin to see what God really intends for our life. That there's more to the story of Christ's resurrection, more to the story that He's alive, more to the story that His death bought us forgiveness. The more is that now His resurrection means that we can be changed. We can change our lives. Through His power, we have the power of transformation. That we can become what we were always meant to be. Dee mentioned it this morning, that we are meant to be His sons and daughters. All sons and daughters of a glorious King. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's who we are. And the transformation door brings that out, you see. Jesus was the reflection of God, but He also then is our example of what a human was intended to be. That we indeed don't need to represent the distorted image of God that we see in the news all the time, right? We see the distorted image when we turn on the news and we see the images of terrorists blowing up people and buildings and shootings and killings and murders and rapes and abortions and racism and greed and hatred and how many besides me get depressed when they watch the news? But we don't have to be like them. We don't have to be that way. We're not intended to be. We're created to be like God, to be like Jesus. And because Jesus is alive, that transformation door, that door of transformation is wide open. That we invite the power of the resurrection into our life to change us, to become less selfish and more loving, right? More giving, to live and love like Jesus did, to live and love like He did. I love this book by Max Lucado. It's called Just Like Jesus. And in it he says this. He said, just imagine if for one day and one night Jesus were to become you. Now, I mean that His heart would become your heart. That He would come and truly live through you. Now, it would still be you. People would still see your image, right? They would still see your face, hear your voice. But it would be Jesus that would be living for you. He said, what if for 24 hours Jesus wakes up, right, in your body, walks in your shoes, lives in your house, assumes your schedule? Your boss becomes His boss. Your mother becomes His mother. But your pains become His pains. With one exception, nothing about your life changes. Your health doesn't change, your circumstances don't change, your schedule isn't altered, your problems aren't all immediately solved. Only one change occurs, he writes, that for this day and night, Jesus lives your life with his heart. Your heart gets a day off. Your life is led by the heart of Jesus Christ. So now his priority governs your actions. His passions govern your decisions. His love directs your every behavior. What would you be like? How would you feel? What change would this heart transplant have? How about what change would it have on your stress level? How about your mood swings? I'm not talking about anybody in here now. Your temper. Would you sleep better, you think? Would you see that sunset differently? Would you view death differently? I was going to say, would you even view taxes differently, but I thought that was not preaching, that was meddling. Would you still fear what you fear? Would you still dread what you dread? I think not. I think your heart would feel fully alive. Alive. That you would begin to see with the eyes of your heart a life full of opportunity, full of excitement. Oh, I'm not making any bones about the fact that we live in a fallen world. You know, I talk to people who wonder whether or not they should bring children into this world because they say how bad it is. And I say, your child could change this world. That's the attitude. Amen? That's the attitude of someone who knows the power of the resurrection, the power of a child being raised to know that and to live it. Amen? That understands the power of transformation. Eyes to see what Jesus would see, perceive, right? That's what I mean by see, perceive when he sees. I think it would be unbelievable. Now, if it's your first time here, know that we will continue to talk about that door of transformation. We call it discipleship, and it really is what we're focused on here, you know, to help us become fully alive, to help us act on the glory that now is placed within us through Christ. But there's one last thing that we also focus on, the last door, and that's the door of hope. Once you've walked through the door of forgiveness and you've walked through the door of transformation, that door of transformation, by the way, that goes on your whole life, right? It's a lifelong process of becoming like Christ. But there will stand before you this final door now, that final door, and you'll be able to put your eyes upon it and understand its power. It's the door of hope. The door of hope. You'll see it in front of you. You'll be reminded of the words of our Lord whenever he was leaving this earth and he said, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and take you to be where I am. And now you know the way, because I am the way." A door of hope that you will live forever. And not only just live forever, but live forever without pain, without fear, without worry, without care, without sickness, and without death. Eternal hope. Because of Easter, there's a lot more going on than sometimes what we see with our eyes. His resurrection allows us to see the door of hope and to be able to understand the power of eternal life. There's a lot of people that believe in the resurrection. It's an historical fact. It wasn't done in secret. The whole city of Jerusalem knew about it, eventually the whole Roman Empire. It was big news. If it was on Fox News, you know, they would have been broadcasting it live, right? There's more than 15 historical references to the truth of the resurrection. He met with 500 people afterward. Those people began to live a different life because they saw the hope that was before them, a hope that they knew would never disappoint them. Those early Christians, in the face of persecution, they would not deny the Lord, even if it meant their death. They had such a powerful sense of that hope that they understood that the worst you could do was take this body, and I'll immediately be in the presence of the Lord forever. And the older I get, sometimes I'm kind of looking forward to that new body. Amen? Come on. Kim worked me to death yesterday. And by the time I got, that's the truth. By the time I got home, Joe, I couldn't move. I mean, this body just was creaking and croaking, and oh my goodness gracious. I got down on the couch, I didn't think I was going to get up. All day long, moving her center in Bellefonte, you know, loading and unloading several times. Oh, my Lord, my Lord. So that we went to bed. Can I tell you what time I went to bed last night? I started up the steps at 7:30. Now, I got to about 8 o'clock. I was out like a light. And I woke up early this morning. I did really early this morning, way before sun up, and went down, made coffee, and I made Kim a cup of tea, which I always make in the morning. This time when I walked into the bathroom, though, and I was holding her teacup, I started singing that song that I know she knows. It goes like this. On that resurrection morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, I'll have a new body. I'll have a new life. Didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And she looked just like she's looking now. She too was feeling it still this morning. The hope of eternal life. Knowing that the moment that you close your eyes here, you'll open them in heaven. Powerful stuff, amen? Healed in every way. Now, as we conclude this morning, you know, the real question is, you know, can I understand this and walk through these doors and have it change my life today? You know, maybe this morning, you know, as we prepare for our final act, which is we're going to share communion right now, and I just ask the worship team actually to come, if you would, and prepare. You know, as we do, maybe this morning you have never walked completely through that door of forgiveness. Maybe you've still allowed the enemy of your soul to heap upon you the guilt that you can't shake, that you can't get rid of. And I pray today that as we partake of communion, that you will walk fully through that door of forgiveness, and that you will know the freedom of being free from guilt and shame. Amen? Maybe you've walked through that door before, but you need a new sense of that forgiveness in your life. Maybe you've not understood the power of his resurrection to open the door of change in your life, of transformation. And I pray that as we indeed partake of communion today, that you walk through that door, that you begin to feel the power of God's Spirit working in your life to transform you and give you hope. And maybe you're not sure this morning of what that final door of life holds for you. What will happen when your body finally fails for the last time? Maybe you're not sure of what will happen when that day comes. Well, today is for you. that the door of hope is for you. You don't have to pick one. God offers all three, amen? The door of forgiveness, the door of transformation, the door of hope. Wide open for you today, because the grave is wide open. That's the power of today, amen? So we're just going to pray that as we receive communion today, that God will come anew, that God will open these doors for you, and that you will leave here today changed, that you will leave here today with hope, that you will leave here today with God's power working in your heart and His love filling you to overflow. Let's pray. Father God, I come and I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us through Christ. And Lord, we need to be able to apply it to our lives. We need to be able to receive it again today. That Lord God, our life again begins to show purpose, that we don't feel stuck, that we feel that you're at work in our lives and you're at work around us to give us the life that you desire. That we live, Lord, in your image, your sons and your daughters on this earth shining your light and love. And that we live with an eternal hope that will never fade, that will never disappoint us. All because of you, Jesus. All because of what you've done. So, Lord, we receive you anew today. Thank you for forgiveness, for power, for hope. Prepare our hearts now, Lord, to fully invite you there. For us to walk through any of those three doors, we have to first open the door to our heart. And we do that now, Lord.